Grant was recorded on March 26, 1965 at the Half Note in New York City. Well, I'm Fred Allen. You've been listening to Sound Principles here on WMBR. Stay tuned for Post-It Wall with Ishwarya and her latest victim, who you will find out amazing things about, I am sure. That will be followed by, at 8 o'clock, by Brandy with The Pursuit of Happiness, and then Brian will be by at 9 with music by Dead People. So stay tuned and have a good evening.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Good evening, everyone. This is Aishwarya signing on from WMBR Cambridge, back for yet another episode of Post-It Wall. So, for those of you who are joining me for the first time, or for those of you that might need your memories jogged a little bit, the goal of this show is to remind you that you aren't surrounded by human robots or achievements, accolades, jobs, or GPAs. In fact, you're surrounded by beautiful stories. And they're stories that are complex, intricate, heartwarming, and enlightening. And stories that might just go unheard if you don't actually take the time to stop and listen. So, tonight, I'm going to break the MIT affiliation streak a little bit to offer what I think will be a unique and refreshing perspective. My guest tonight is someone I've actually only known for maybe 2 years or so, but in my mind, she's already family. She's a financial wizard, having had an incredible career trajectory that spans investment banking and now a current position working for Harvard's endowment. But she's also an eloquent speaker and a dedicated leader, traits that I've observed and admired firsthand through a youth group that we're both involved in outside of work. But more than any of these things, and most importantly, she is one of the most genuine and caring and welcoming individuals that I know. Despite her poor jokes and occasional incompetence with foreign languages, she is always an inspiration, always looking to learn, to introspect, and to share. So, as is the tradition on the show, I won't introduce my mystery guest without asking her what has become its most infamous question. So, mystery guest, if you could leave one bit of advice behind for me, for all our listeners, for the rest of the world, or anyone who might be listening, what would it be?
First of all, Aishwarya, thanks so much for having me today. I'm super pumped. And one clarification, she said poor jokes. That just means she doesn't really appreciate my puns. I just want to throw that out to the world. She's really talking about my puns. But that's a really good question. And something I kind of reflect on pretty constantly, and I think one piece of advice that I'd want to leave is slightly stereotypical, but I think college students have the perfect opportunity to take risks. Go out there and take some risks. It might sound super cookie cutter, and I'm sure you've heard it from many different people, but thinking back, I'm now 5, almost 6 years out of college.
Yeah.
And I sometimes wish I took more risks. Positive, calculated risks, I think, could lead to new experiences. And I think those new experiences could really change your perspective. I think at a college level, like something as basic as, should I go to that party? Or should I go meet new people? Should I change my major?
Yeah.
And I think we're just kind of afraid. We have this fear of failure. What are other people going to think if I don't do well? What are other people going to think if I fail?
Absolutely.
Exactly. And so I think to that point, go take risks. And an extrapolation of that, that sometimes I struggle with even to this day, is when taking these risks, you need to be really accepting of whatever the outcome is. And so we tend to have certain desires and expectations, or we tend to dwell on things, or I do anyway, I keep generalizing, but I tend to dwell on things.
Yeah.
Even if I don't take the risk, I would have been like, oh, maybe I should have done that. I take the risk and something doesn't work out. I'm like, why did I do that? And this dwelling just goes on. That is not productive in any way, shape, or form. So take risks, but really understand that the outcome may not come your way, but it could still be a really cool, positive experience.
That's incredible. We've had so many students that have been on the show and so many people from different perspectives, or different backgrounds, maybe even similar to yours, but no one has said that about their college experience or has left that behind as a piece of advice. So I really want to dig into that a little bit. So before we kind of hone in on the advice, let's back up a little bit. So why don't you tell everyone who you are, what your name is, where you're from maybe, and what you're doing now, and sort of what about your life experiences led you to leave that piece of advice behind?
Sure. My name is Vimala Nandula. As Aishwarya mentioned, I work at Harvard's endowment, Go Crimson. I went to school actually at Ohio State, so really, go Buckeyes. I was born in India. I grew up in Canada, and I moved to the States right before I started high school, so my friends call me Canindian. So that's, I think, really my background.
That's an accurate description. Cool. So the second part of that is you left behind that really nice piece of advice. So can you share with us either a couple of specific stories or incidents or just a general trajectory of what about your life or experiences led you to that piece of advice?
Yeah, definitely. So I think maybe just growing up in the South Asian culture, there is a general trajectory that you do well, kind of find what you're good at, and you pursue that. And I think in college, and my parents were super supportive, they're like, go do what you want, but just remember to work hard.
Yeah.
Work hard at whatever you do and make sure you find happiness that way. But I feel like I always kind of played it safe. I was like always worried, like, what would all these people think about me? And what if I don't do well? Like, they're just going to like discount me completely. So I always played it safe and played to my strengths.
Yeah.
And I never really, I knew sometimes what my weaknesses were, but I never took opportunities to kind of really better those weaknesses and maybe turn them into strengths. And so I feel like in college, like the first couple of years, I really played it safe. And then my like end of junior and senior year, I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is 4 years for me to really meet as many new people as possible, try as many new things as possible, whether that's taking a class or again, going to a party or even like approaching someone of the same sex, let alone like the opposite sex, to form some sort of relationship. So I'm like, I didn't take these risks. I picked a major that played to my strength. I was decently good at math, not as good as Aishwarya. Decently good at math. I was like, let me go be an econ major and like find an employable major and then get a job. And I look back and I'm like, why didn't I think about studying history or some things that really, really excited me? Or like go to that one party where all my friends were because I was too worried I wouldn't fit in or just be like the loser standing next to the drinks or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I should have taken more risks because I feel like in doing that, you really do broaden your horizons and have experiences that change your perspective. And ultimately, like taking risks means like you figure out what makes you happy. But
yeah,
we just get so caught up in this, like, what does someone else think about me, that it just like sometimes holds you back. But
absolutely. And you actually brought up exactly what I wanted to sort of pick on a little bit more, which is so much of what we do, how we think, how we behave and talk, is sort of directed by this notion of what are others going to say? What are others going to think? And what do you sort of say to that, like, as a combat? Do you ignore it? Do you say it doesn't matter to me? Or, you know, what advice do you give to people that are sort of driven by this all the time?
Yeah, so I'm 27 now, so 5 years out. Looking back, I'm like, who cares? Like, who the hell cares about any of this? Because you're never going to see most of these people again. The people that you're close to are going to support you no matter what. And the people who are in your life at that moment but may not support you are totally transient. In 5 years out, like, I feel like a lot of my friends that I was really good friends with in college, some of them have just dropped off because we don't have the same trajectory anymore.
Yeah.
But the ones that have stuck have been super supportive the entire way. So it's kind of like, it's so easy theoretically to be like, oh my God, like, who cares? Like, forget about all these people. I'm just going to do what I want, say what I want. But like in practicality, sometimes I still struggle with it, especially to like our youth group or individuals that like you're close to. You're still like, Okay, I interact with this person day to day. Like, I kind of do care about their perspective of me. But I think at the end of the day, it's just about you. And all these people kind of really fade away. And so I think you really have to focus on yourself, because no one else is really going to be focused on you. It's about you and driving your own trajectory. And I think more recently I've been all about taking really positive calculated risks, because like, just cancer has appeared, unfortunately. And so my mother has been unwell for a little bit of time, and thankfully she's recovered and doing really, really well. But recently my college roommate, who suffered me freshman and junior year, was diagnosed with a very large tumor near her kidney, and her surgery was yesterday, actually. Imagine, she's 27 and almost had one of her kidneys along with some other things removed. And so life is actually really short. And when I heard that news a couple weeks ago, I was just like, this is insane. You're 27, perfectly healthy. Why and how do you have such a large tumor in your abdominal area? And so thankfully the surgery went great and she's in recovery. But time is really not on your side. And so the more time you waste thinking about other people and what they think about you, you're just doing more of a disservice to yourself. So go take positive calculated risks. That was such a bit of a runaround rambling answer.
No, not at all. I'm really glad you said all that you did say. And definitely the people that you mentioned are definitely going to be in our prayers, and I hope everything goes well for them.
Ah, thank you so much.
I guess I had two questions, but I can pick one here.
Yeah.
If you had to share maybe one specific story about yourself that involved taking a calculated risk, or something you wish you had done in college, you did talk a little bit about that, but maybe one time that you did take your own advice recently or in the past.
Yeah.
Anything you'd want to share?
Yeah, definitely. And this is super fun, and I think you may know a little bit about it, but... So growing up, similar to Aishwarya, I learned what's called Carnatic music. So it's Indian classical music. And growing up in the States, I was also like, growing up in North America, I was always like super into hip hop, and I'm still really into hip hop. And I've always had this fascination of like, how do Eastern beats fuse with Western beats? And I've been thinking about that for such a long time. And so recently, actually like last Friday, I went and I took a DJ lesson here in Central Square. So shout out to Talk, my DJ instructor. And what we did was like beat matching. And what that is so you have two turntables and you put a song on each turntable. When DJs transition, you kind of need to match up the beats of the song. And so it's actually like really math oriented of like counting beats and understanding that pop music is in certain measures, like electronic music is in certain measures of beats. And so like I was in this studio and it was just, I was fusing beats together. And so people are like, hey, like, what do you like to do in your free time? Or like they ask me questions like, what are you really interested in aside from work? So I'm like, yeah, I like really want to DJ. And, you know, they like chuckle, and then they look back at me and they realize I'm just kind of like smiling, and then they stop chuckling and they're like, oh, you're actually serious. I'm like, yeah, yo, there isn't like a certain prototype to be a DJ. But I still have a long way to go. So I told my parents, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go take a DJ class. And my mom's like, what are you going to like go gig at a nightclub? I was like, damn, thanks for the support. But it was, there's actually like a math and science behind it. And so far, and I was thinking, like, what led me to do this? I've been thinking about it for a really long time, but I always made excuses. I have work. I have, like, you know, other obligations with our youth group and travel and family and friends, yada, yada, yada. But I'm like, it's kind of like now or never. Like, when is the time? And hearing my friend getting sick, I was like, I got to move on this, because time is flying by and it's time to execute on this. And it was so much fun doing it.
That's our friend, awesome.
And our friend Aria actually saw me after and she's like, you look really exhilarated. I'm like, yeah, I'm like really happy doing this. So long-winded way, but
yeah.
DJing is in my future now.
That is so inspiring. There's so many things on my personal bucket list that I've just been meaning to get to and just put it off because of work and life. And now I'm inspired to go and make time for those things.
So. Definitely. Go do it.
I'm glad you shared that. Oh, man. So many questions, so little time. Let's see. Let's twist things up a little bit. I wanted to ask, since part of the youth, the way we sort of got to know each other and the youth group that we're involved with outside of work has to do with spirituality and faith. So I meant to ask you sort of, I guess, what does faith mean to you and what gives you the strength to go on when things aren't going well? You did mention this amazing trajectory, at least on paper, of being in IB and then coming to the endowment fund and you seem to be having a great time. But what do you do when things aren't going well?
No, that's a really good thought. So to just back up a little bit, I'm going to give you a brief evolution of my faith. So yeah. I think growing up, religion was something, it wasn't particularly an option. I couldn't opt in and out when I wanted to. You kind of opted in at all times. And like your parents took you to the temple with them. We did like our version of Sunday school and you learned about the religion. But that was all like, that was great from an educational perspective. But at times, like I think my faith lagged when my SATs were coming up or like a big exam. I was like, please, please, God, like I need this like certain score or like some big event in high school that like seemed like the most important thing in the world. I was like, please, please, please help me out now. But it was just like at those moments, it wasn't fluid. It was like, I needed something. Okay, I'm going to pray to God. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And so I think with just dealing with certain situations and things that have come up recently, only has recently has my faith really kind of, have I really bolstered it in to a higher degree than what it was before. I think over the last 5 years post-college, you know, in college, like you have a set trajectory, you're super busy all the time. So you're not really thinking about, oh my God, what makes me happy? Like, what do I really want to do? You're running around, you have all of these applications, but post-graduation, you're like, okay, I'm out on my own now. Now I have to kind of really figure out what makes me happy. And so, and more recently with the illness that we've had in my family, it's completely out of your control. And I think what's helped me get through is my faith and the fact that I believe that we just watching the progression of how things just drastically have improved and how we got lucky, just that there is a higher power controlling it. And so you just kind of let it, you're just like, I have no control over how this cancer. And so why not just have the faith to leave it to a higher power, if that even makes sense?
Yeah.
And it's a little vague there, but knowing that there's nothing absolutely that you can do and knowing that it is being controlled in some way, shape, or form and just letting it go like that. To your other point, when I think times are tough, you just think back to like what is in your control. I think we dwell so much on so many different things. It's like half of the shit is not even in your control. And so I think you have to really think about what is in your control. And as far as you listed out a career trajectory, it's a friend and I were talking about this. So what is success? It's three things, right? It's like luck, talent, and hard work. Luck, you can't really control. Talent, you have some God-given talents. So what you can control is hard work. And so having like some faith and letting the other two go and just really focusing on hard work, I think that's what I really just thought about in getting to the next step.
That's sort of like your mantra. Let's
try to stick to it, but sometimes you kind of get off it. There are definitely times where, you know, you try to have faith, but there are more moments, I think, that it wavers. You're like, why is this not going the right way? Or,
yeah.
Or what am I doing wrong? Like, what did I do to deserve this? And all these, like, random, like, thoughts that kind of attack your self-confidence at times, like, come up. You just kind of keep going back to the basics. Keep it simple and just go back to the basics and keep working from there.
Absolutely. And to be clear to everyone that's listening, in no way are we saying like this is what you should be doing or, you know, this is the general formula
not.
For life.
Definitely not. It's just worked out for me.
Certainly. It's really wonderful to sort of use this show as a magnifying lens into people's lives and learn a little bit about how they use faith or these things as tools to get them through life. And maybe you'll find some inspiration in that. So that's the goal. Maybe on the flip side of things, I wanted to ask, what's something that you fear?
And what's something why? That I fear?
Yeah. Of course, they're trivial things, but I mean more.
Yeah, definitely.
Non-trivial.
I think my own unrealized potential.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes I feel like I can be like particularly indecisive, even like simple things like, what am I going to order? And I always end up having order and be like, I shouldn't have ordered this. I should have ordered that. But like simple indecision, I think has led me, I in wavering in these decisions, I have come to the point that where I start to fear my own unrealized potential. We work hard at many different things, but I wonder, am I working hard at the right things? And yeah. I don't know how to make the decision to either transition out of that, focus on something else, or like keep at what I'm doing. So everyone's always like, oh, you have so much potential. You have so much potential. I'm like, what does that even really mean? Can you kind of point me in the right direction? Am I going in the right direction?
Yeah.
And so I think, and what scares me is, am I putting all my energy and efforts into something that is not really the thing that I'm meant to be doing or I'm supposed to be doing? And so this unrealized potential actually really scares me. So I go back to taking risks. Just like taking positive calculated risks to see like, is this a new avenue I should explore? And so, yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, actually I'm having sort of random interference in my head from various algorithms that we learn about in CS, where if you're searching down a particular path, it's oftentimes very efficient and effective to randomly jump off that path to look at other nodes to see if that's a viable solution to the problem. It's kind of an analogy for what you're talking about. Like you can sort of put a lot of your energy down one path that seems to be apparent to you right now, but if you don't break off of it periodically or explore other channels, you might not know what else you're missing.
I like the academic plug there.
Sorry. I can't help it sometimes. It just comes up. All right. We're getting close to the end of the hour, but a couple more questions.
Yeah.
So if I had to ask you, what are some things that you're grateful for? What would they be?
Definitely. I am grateful for health. Mm-hmm. Health for everyone around me. And I think I'm really grateful for community. I think I'm one of those people that like seeks out communities of like-minded individuals, whether it's our youth group, whether it's at work or in like a DJ community, like, or in a musical community.
Yeah.
I think I can be pretty outgoing at times, but I also am an introvert at times. But I think what I find in community is just a high level of support and individuals to talk to and hang out with and bounce ideas. And I think a collective group is so much more powerful than one individual. And so I think I always feel a sense of like safety around a community. And so I think I'm really grateful for the communities that I have here in Boston.
Yeah. And I'm glad to be a part of the community as well. If you had to pick one moment, it could be not the only moment, but one among many that you know you're going to cherish for the rest of your life.
Oh, that's a really tough one.
Yeah. Anything that comes to mind?
More recently, I think...
It can be really old, too.
So, not to put everyone on who's listening to sleep, so I'll just go with a more recent one. I think the surgeon coming out and saying that absolutely everything was going to be okay. I think we'll cherish that forever. Because here we are in total knots in a waiting room. He comes out and says everything's going to be okay, and I think it was such a sense of calm.
Yeah,
I couldn't even sit there. I think I made like 5 Starbucks runs. And I'm like, I cannot put any more like sugary drinks down. I need to like sit in one spot and actually like focus sitting in a waiting room. I think it was such a relief off our shoulders because you're sitting there and you're running through all these scenarios in your head of like what could happen and what could be. And that moment, I was just like, oh my God, we can all breathe and we can all just go back to being a normal family and not keep worrying about something. So more recently, that's I'll always share that.
How much of some of the things you said about taking risks or trying different things has sort of been influenced by your relationship with your family and this balance between trying to make sure you please them and do what they've sort of told you and what they want from you, but also exploring, you know, going off the beaten, taking the, you know, road less taken.
Yes, as Robert Frost would say. No, that's a good point. I think from the start, we've had some of the typical South Asian like stereotypes of what parents are don't particularly hold for my family. So my older brother is hearing impaired, And so my parents really had to kind of craft a way for him so he would thrive. Actually, that's the reason my family ended up moving to Canada, is so he could get better care. Yeah. And so it wasn't always like, is my kid doing like the best thing possible and is at the top of the game? It's like, is my kid like thriving and succeeding and learning?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's kind of the environment that my parents created. And so like, as a second kid, they're like, okay, yeah, we got the first one on track. You do what you want. We're tired.
Yep.
And so, but no, jokes aside. So I think they've been really supportive in that way because they've seen like just what a child needs, like basic learning needs to thrive. And so I think they never really pushed anything. But at the same time, I think my dad's like, you have a lot of potential and I don't want to see it go to waste. So please do something productive for yourself and for society. Don't worry about trying to like please us all the time and make us happy. Just be like a productive member of society. Don't like sit on a couch and do nothing. And so I think that traditional South Asian structure like doesn't hold necessarily true for my family. It's just, so they've been super supportive. And the risk taking has been like very much recent. So now I'm old enough. They're like, okay, you're 27. We're not going to really tell you what to do either. You go do your thing.
But you've always had that sort of basis of support from them. And
yeah.
That's really important.
Exactly.
All right. Almost at the end. So I have to end with, it's probably one of my favorite questions on here. But if the final pages of your autobiography ended with a favorite quote, a favorite dialogue from a movie, a favorite line from a song, or even a favorite scene from another book, what would it be? And with that, we'll part.
Oh, that's a really good question. Also kind of tough. So I'm going to take a few seconds to think about
it. Take your time.
So can I, you gave me three options, A, B, C. Can I do D,
Sure. Neither
of the above?
Sure.
I think maybe if I was thinking about my autobiography, I think I'd want a picture. The last page should be a picture of me doing whatever at the end of my journey that I found that brings to me the ultimate happiness, whether it's with another person, whether it's an action or a particular place, because I think a picture speaks a thousand words, not to be super corny, but so I'll let the reader make their own assumptions after seeing that picture and their own judgment.
Not to add one more twist to this as we're wrapping up, but do you think whatever that is that would ultimately make you happy is something that can be summarized in a single picture?
Maybe not. Actually, no, probably not. But maybe the expression on my face and hopefully the people around me, and maybe the setting is so cool. Maybe I'm sitting at the top of Mount Everest just like cheesing with thumbs up and super happy. But you're right. It probably doesn't. But hopefully some genuine happiness on my face will say it all.
I like that. That's one twist that we've gotten on this question that I haven't heard yet.
So awesome.
You win the uniqueness award.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Vimala.
Thank you so much for having me.
What you said was absolutely awesome, inspiring, and so refreshing from all the things that people have been on here and said, and just a very unique perspective altogether. So thank you for that. And that's it for this week's episode, folks. So next time, another person, another inspiring outlook on life, and another post-it note to add to our wall. So until then, look a little harder, dig a little deeper, and search for the story underneath. And who knows? You might just be surprised. This is Aishwarya signing off from WMBR Cambridge. Good night.
At 7:57 in the evening, we've got a little bumper music going. At 7:57 in the evening, you're tuned to WMBR in Cambridge. And this is Brandy. And thanks, Aishwarya, for another great Post-it Notes edition. And thanks to all of you for tuning in on this beautiful summer evening we're having in Cambridge. And I'm glad you're along for this ride tonight. You're tuned to The Pursuit of Happiness, as I mentioned. This is Brandy, and I'm on every other Wednesday at this time, at 8 p.m., and happy to be part of this great lineup. And this show is really for you. So if you have anything you want to hear that makes you happy, 617-253-8810 is the number. Otherwise, I'll just be playing a bunch of songs I've pulled, but I've always got room for more. So you can call me or text and let me know of anything you'd like to hear. No particular theme or genre tonight, though I will be getting to some music from Mr. Glenn Campbell, given his recent passing. And, you know, for somebody who's career spanned 60 years and sold over 45 million records. I think it's worth doing something for him tonight. And so if you have something in mind for that, feel free to call or text. Otherwise, really anything goes. And look forward to hearing from you. But let's get things started now with some Joe Jackson tonight on 88.1.
Cha-cha-cha-loco, cha-cha-cha-loco.